Why is Brazil ramping up as the next great COVID-19 disaster? You would have to know the country as Tenny Naumer does. She lived in Brazil 14 years before returning to the United States. Tenny is a professional translator in Portuguese, but I've been following her climate blog for years, and some of the stories you've heard on Radio EcoShock were inspired by her work. She has one of those rare eyes for important signals in a whole world of information. From Illinois, Tenny Naumer, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Hi, thank you for asking me to be on.
It must be difficult to see a country that you love approaching such a deadly disaster.
Oh, yeah, it really is. I have so many friends there, and they're not prepared. Their healthcare system must already be completely overwhelmed. I mean, I lived in a city in the interior that's out in the country, of the state of Bahia, and that was a municipality with a good 400,000 people. I was the only American. But I'm well acquainted with their healthcare system there. And the national healthcare system is called SUS. And basically, those are small clinics that give inoculations and pregnancy tests. But they also do a lot with birth control and giving out free birth control, and also antiviral medication for HIV-positive people. So that's one of the reasons that Brazil has a low rate of HIV death or infections. AIDS deaths or infections. They're very good about promoting condoms. But be that as it may, it's in no way capable of handling this crisis. The regular hospitals, the private ones, you largely have to pay up front to get into them. So that precludes everybody. And the doctors are not well trained either. They don't actually go to pre-med. They go straight from high school into medical school. There are some good ones, but generally they go outside the country to get more training, either to the United States or to the UK in general. So the situation there, they've hit over 600 deaths per day. People are buried within 24 hours. They're supposed to be buried. It's just going to be a mess because they have the same situation that we have here with a president who is uneducated in science and doesn't believe a lot of things that he should be believing, and he's an authoritarian, and he's got a following of people that are much like we have the Trump following here in the United States, and it's just a mess. So I don't know what's going to happen there. It's not going to be good.
Yes, after saying the coronavirus was just a little flu, that was in March, Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro told a press conference that, quote, Brazilians don't catch anything. They already have the antibodies to keep it from spreading, end quote. And that sounds like the kind of magical thinking we have heard in America from Trump. Is the president in Brazil as powerful and influential as the American president?
In some ways, he may be more so. In other ways, not. The governors there in Brazil are doing what they can to protect their own people. But the corruption in Brazil is extreme. I couldn't even get a driver's license without the lady behind the desk looking at me, trying to figure out how she could give me a signal to give her something. It's so extreme there let's just go back to the coronavirus. They're not going to have supplies. They're not going to have testing. They're not going to have care. It's going to be bad. And Jair Bolsonaro, he is just kind of nutty, and he has a fanatical following, and the military kind of props him up. I've even heard that the military is actually in charge of day-to-day things, but I don't know. And also, his family is being investigated for the murder of his family's connections are being investigated for the murder of the Rio City Council woman, Marielle Franco. And apparently the paramilitary police, ex-police officers and ex-army have really risen in the years since I lived there, and they now control large neighborhoods like a mafia. And so the crime, the legal structure is failing. The judges, when you can just have somebody murdered for a couple hundred dollars, a judge is not going to render an adverse decision, and a prosecutor has to go around with bodyguards. The judges, if they go after these gangs, they have to go around with bodyguards, which are usually killed. And it's just it's worse than Italy. It's far worse than Italy. So the level in the city is, it's just really bad. The coronavirus thing is going to devastate Brazil. I don't see any other outcome. They were going to kick out the Cuban doctors who had come in to help. They actually have pretty good training. I think maybe they didn't finally, but also the social distancing, people aren't practicing it. Most the poor there have, they're lucky if they have a third grade education. So they don't have science. They don't know about germs. They don't know about particles traveling in air. They have no idea of microscopy and how things can be very tiny and get them. And that all plays a part in it. Now that everybody's staying home and they have these large families, it's going to spread. It's just a very, I don't have any good news about Brazil.
Well, we may see a situation similar to what happened in Wuhan, China, where whole families pretty well passed away together in their houses. But, I dread those sorts of scenes. Now, according to a recent article in the British medical journal The Lancet, quote, a recent study by Imperial College UK, which analyzed the active transmission rate of COVID-19 in 48 countries, showed that Brazil is the country with the highest rate of transmission. So that's another reason that I see to be terribly worried about news coming from Brazil, say in July or August when it's winter in the southern hemisphere and even the common flu tends to spread during that time. But maybe I'm just being paranoid.
No, because those numbers in the report you mentioned are based on rather low testing. So you can imagine if there were more testing, what those numbers would actually say, the infection rate would be much higher. Again, that there is not going to be any care for the poor. I mean, this system as it is now, if they needed help with something, they might wait months to get an appointment. When I was there, for example, even I would have to stand on the street in line to get into the doctor's office and take a number. Because it was, you couldn't call up and make an appointment. You had to go and physically stand there, even if you were sick, and get a number in line. It's really bad. It's going to be really bad, and it's going to be like the showcase for how bad things can be. And there's no way to get the testing in there. The rich people are going to try to get out and probably try to fly into Miami, where all the rich Brazilians, with their corrupt money, have bought apartments. Yeah, they will flee the country, or they will have some way of protecting themselves by isolating themselves. They might now have to do their own dishes for a change and prepare their own food. But yeah, the rich are going to make out, and the rest of the country is going to... You know, I have to wonder how this will affect the world's economy, too, because Brazil is not an insignificant supplier of raw materials around the world, things like that. And that will all be affected as well. Their credit rating has now been downrated. That's just the beginning. The currency is going down daily. I think it's gone down about 25% in the last 3 months. It's just not good, and I really am afraid for my friends there.
It's not a secret what's going on. In a speech at the Supreme Court, President Bolsonaro and his finance minister warned the economy would go into total collapse if the country was not reopened immediately. And the stock market has crashed. The financial system looks shaky. Money is fleeing the country. And I wonder if this is a reality that the country does need to reopen or people are going to starve, or is this something being pushed by the elite in order to keep their own money safe? I don't know.
I don't think reopening the country or not reopening it is at this point, with no testing and no healthcare system functioning adequately, one wonders whether it will even matter because of the lack of social distancing. And I think it's just going to tear right through Brazil, and we're going to see what happens. I mean, when you look at the meatpacking plants in the States where they want to, they're forcing them to reopen when they've got hundreds of known cases and everybody knows they're going to get exposed to it. Brazilians, on the other hand, they can't stay. The rich people are not going to ask the maids to come back and the domestic ladies at work, and they're not going to ask them to come back in the house unless they're stupid. Because, again, the education there, there's no great emphasis on science or bacteria and that kind of thing. But it's just like in this country, you're going to send your kids to school even if they reopen? Are you going to do that as a parent? No, absolutely not. So I don't think the economy is going to be helped by reopening or hindered. I think it's just going to have to, the whole thing's going to have to run its course. It's like too late. It's way too late.
And is there a safety net for the majority of people in Brazil? Is hunger or even famine a possibility there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure it is. Because when Lula became president, they had Bolsa Família, which was a monthly stipend, and a lot of people came up, and it was very, very helpful. But they've had a program of austerity, which helps no one, and it certainly didn't help the economy. And people are already living on the edge. Yes, hunger, yes. At the grocery stores, people would leave food. They would donate, and that would be handed out. And that all disappeared. That whole infrastructure disappeared when Lula came in and started Bolsa Família. And so I don't know if that was reintroduced by people willing to help. But in general, the rich don't give to charities because of corruption, and a lot of the money disappears. So in general, they don't have all these charities helping people. They do have some, of course, but in general, not like here, because the money just disappears. So no one trusts to give to a charity. They'll give a package of food, but still, you know, it's like in a time like this, they're going to be each to his own, like hunkering down and trying to limit, donations to family members and things like that. And I don't know what they're going to do in the cities where it's somehow easier out in the country, I think. But a place like São Paulo of 20 million people, I just don't have anything. There's just no bright spot here.
I know the wealthy hope this pandemic will hit the poor and maybe even reduce them in their sort of fascist daydreams. But top military generals, senators, and confidants of the president have come down with the sickness too. Do you think the suffering will be general, or as you say, the rich will just get out and the poor will die off in greater numbers? Any ideas on that line?
I don't know about the poor or the rich wanting the poor to die off because they find them very useful. But I think in the way it's spreading now in Brazil with limited testing, I think it's just going to spread through the whole country. I don't see how people can avoid it. Rich or poor, I don't see how anyone can avoid being exposed to this. They might get an exposure, infection rate of 80 to 90%. I just don't see how people can avoid it at this point. It's really going to just flood through the country.
Well, this is a nightmare. I live in a Canadian village right on the border with the United States, and our government has closed that border to all but essential traffic.
Good.
Well, America is the most infected country in the world. We're nervous, so I bet Brazil's neighbors must be worried to see that colossus falling to an unstoppable disease.
None of those neighbors have medical systems like we think of them here in the north. None of those countries have that. So they're all going to be quite worried. I haven't really looked at what the other countries are doing, but of course in Venezuela there is no medical system that functions anymore. I have a friend there that can't even get cheap blood pressure medication. Anyway, those countries are going to be hit hard too, but they might be able to, do some isolation and social distancing. I don't know. But in Brazil, it's just impossible now. Yeah, one of my daughter's best friends there, we collected money to send to him. We transferred money to him so he could pay his rent because he wasn't working, and now he's come down with the virus too, and he was social distancing.
That's pretty tough. So if the bodies begin to pile up and collapse sadly arrives, will the military step in again to rescue Brazil?
Oh, Lord. They might do something. I mean, Brazilians are used to things like this. It's not unknown to them. Like, we wouldn't expect our military to do something like that. But they're, and, you know, they're having these protests, and the protesters are yelling, you know, bring back the military, because they've obviously forgotten what 20 years of a military dictatorship was like, because it happened so long ago. I think it ended in, what, 1986 or something, in the 80s anyway. And so they've long forgotten how bad that was and what an economic mess. There's not one single country that's ever had a military dictatorship that wasn't an economic disaster. So I don't know why they would think that would be any different. But they've just, it's like in this country, people have forgotten how things used to be, and they call for things that are ridiculous. So if the military steps in, I think it may create some order. But note that the military is not very far distant from the ex-police militias that are all over the country. I mean, it would be equivalent to letting those people have totally free reign. It would be, oh my, I don't even want to think about it.
Well, now you're back in the United States, but you're not really that much safer from this outbreak. What is happening in Illinois and with people you know there?
We're quite lucky in Illinois because we actually have a Democrat governor, Governor J.B. Pritzker, who, although Chicago's had a terrible outbreak, he's doing everything in his power to get equipment, PPE, and everything that he can do is being done. So I'm extremely grateful to live in the state of Illinois, because I was in Texas, which is opening up. I spent 3 years in Texas, and down there, they did not expand Medicaid under the ACA Obamacare plan. So their medical care for the poor covers only children and pregnant women. The rest better go and die quickly if you get sick. And here in Illinois, at least Medicaid was expanded. We can't bear much more down here. I'm in the south part of the state, the extreme southern part, and we don't really have a lot of doctors here, so we have to keep this down, because any further increase now will overwhelm the system. And I've been very lucky, because I've been in the hospital three times in the last 2 months with a kidney stone problem, and fortunately they let me in, because they had stopped all non-essential services. So we're doing good down here. So far, so good. I'm in a great state, but next door in Missouri, we got a crazy Republican who's just letting everybody do everything. I wish they had closed the Mississippi River bridges to Missouri and Iowa. Same thing, crazy people. But so far, so good in Illinois.
Hey, Teddy, on a personal note, I always wondered how you managed to spot the most essential climate news and the new science, and you published it at your blog at climatechangepsychology.blogspot.com. How do you stay so informed? Do you have any tips for us?
Well, I did work as a technical editor for Elsevier Science Publishers for 6.5 years on analytical chemistry, academic journals, and brain research. And I did start out in chemistry at university. And I kind of was born with a nose for more serious information rather than junk. And then I've been in some Google groups with some top climate scientists, to my great honor. And so I think the more you read, the more you can develop a nose for what's actually good, what's serious, and what's important. Because I had to, you know, there's almost 9,000 articles now on that blog. It's a pretty good database. I haven't had time in the last year or two to do what I once did with it, but after you go through that much information, you get a bit of an idea of, I had to go through 2 or 3 times that many articles just to pick them out. You do get a sort of a nose for it. All I can say is read, learn, read, learn. exciting.
Yes, so much new is happening in this world that we all need to be sort of permanently in school. I ask listeners to spend about an hour a day just trying to learn about climate and now about this disease, and to stay tuned to other countries, because we get so sucked into everything in America is about the United States, everything in Canada is about Canada, and the UK about UK. And yet we are in a global society, and this pandemic, I think, has taught us that if something pops up in Wuhan, China, or in Milan, Italy, you need to know.
Yeah, you do. And I lived in Europe for a total of 9 years, so I have a little bit of a broader viewpoint. And then being in South America for 14 years, so I have a little bit broader perspective than I otherwise would have. Every little bit of knowledge helps. I mean, I know people who've never been out of Southern Illinois, and they don't want to know about any of this stuff, and it upsets them to know about it. And you can't talk to these people. They get upset, and they don't want to be your friend anymore, basically. So I don't know. It's just I think books will be written on this subject. What is the psychology of people who can actually see the truth and understand it, and those who can look at the truth and say it's not the truth? I don't know how that works in the human mind.
I am seeing some blistering new research on heat levels coming to countries around the world, and some extremes beyond human endurance have already appeared in many places, including in the southern U.S. Do you think, and this is sort of a rhetorical question, but do you think climate impacts will take a holiday while we humans are stressed out about this pandemic and about the economic depression and about feeding ourselves and about failed politics and about what Trump said yesterday?
Oh, no. Summer's coming, and I live in southern Illinois, which used to have winter, and we don't really have snow anymore, and we have armadillos.
No, that's Texas stuff, armadillos.
And the trees are dying. And I saw, and they've been dying for the last several years. We had a heat dome in 2012 where we had 105 to 113 degree Fahrenheit for a couple of weeks. And the trees literally just like exploded and fell over and died. And the trees over, it's like, I saw a good illustration of this. Our trees here, at least, are like similar to what happens to the coral reef. You know, the heat comes and it damages them. Some of it dies. It comes and damages, some dies. And that's what's happening with the trees in southern Illinois. They're dying. They're falling over. It's like pickup sticks out here. And I mention it to people, and they don't see it. And they get upset and don't want to talk to me anymore. And we're going to have a bad summer. This summer, the jet stream is completely gone to lunch and not coming back for 100,000 years. And it's going to let all that heat in, just like they're having in California right now. Over in Africa, people don't talk much about Africa because that continent is not well examined. But they're having very high temperatures right now on the northern edge of their rainforest. India is having, you know, close to 50 degrees centigrade. It's bad, and it's not going to give us a pass this summer.
Returning now to our focus on Brazil, Tenny Naumer, what are your best hopes for that country for the time when this virus is finally beaten back?
Wow. I think our best hope is what we hope for all countries, and that is that people will have learned that they need to help each other, and we have to do this together and not apart, and we have to depend on each other and appreciate each other more, despite our various differences.
Good one. So as we wrap up here, is there anything else you'd like to talk about or to tell our listeners?
No, just keep up the good fight is all I can think of saying. We have to do it. Can't give up.
All right. Now, I'd like to get back to you at another time and talk to you more about the Amazonian rainforest and the destruction that's happening there and how important that is to the lungs, to the planet. We could spend hours on that, but for right now, let's say from Illinois, we've been speaking with longtime Brazilian resident Tenny Naumer. Find links to this story in my show blog at ecoshock.org. Tenny, it was great to finally meet you.
You too, Alex. I've listened to your program many times.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world. check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.